Hello, David.
Yes.
Hey, I just got your number on Facebook, so I figured I'd call you when I got done with all the yard work.
Where's 603?
New Hampshire.
Oh. What's your weather like up there? I was up there in New Hampshire 3 years ago.
Well, today was an exceptionally nice day. It started out at 62 degrees and wound up about 75. A little more than usual, but we've been getting about 4 weeks of rain. And it's the nicest spring I've seen in a long time.
We had a good spring here, too, and a good winter. I mean, it was very mild, but we're now in, like, 99-degree weather.
Aren't you in Florida?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
To make a long description short, the whole self-determination thing and what I don't know, which is probably more important to know than what I do know, and I can see that I've marked up a lot of wrong trees in search of the truth, you know.
I did that early on. For 4 years, we were barking up the wrong tree.
Yeah, and then the biggest awakening was getting to know that the whole reign of the heavens thing. And there, I figured out what he's doing because of a particular big, huge problem we had. He wants to control the legal name so he can tap into the trust.
We saw that on a document he has called the Grant Deed.
Uh-huh.
Somebody sent a copy of it to me. It has 9 spaces on there, and the guy confronted Keith a living way about it and said, "What do you want, my Social Security number?" He said, "Well, that doesn't mean it's a Social Security number." He said, "It's a 9-digit number, and it's designated as XXX-XXX-XXX. So what do you mean it's not a Social Security number?" And it says that you are assigning that to them without condition or reservation. Is that the document you're talking about?
It wasn't the document that I saw, but that's essentially a description of what he's up to. That's why he was going out of his mind with me, because I didn't want to write my name the way he wanted me to write it. So I think that what I'm going to have to do is go somehow and kill off his effort of what he's up to.
When did you meet him?
It started originally about 7-8 years ago. And then I kind of fell off the bandwagon for a while because I had moved around a bit. What ended up happening next was when I was living in Wisconsin, I started to get involved with the Reign of the Heavens thing again. Then it was more popularly known as the Government of the United States of America, 1781. And you see a lot of ideas that they were getting overshadowed by a lot of very inexplicably corrupt-looking things, like his trust that he created. I'm trying to remember the name of it now, but he was trying to get everybody's estate and trust into his. He says he's not able to do any of that, but that's pretty insulting.
You mean he was insulting you?
Oh, yeah. He said a lot of rude things.
Why was he insulting you?
We figured out that it wasn't just getting the name straight. I was questioning things that he was doing. And we looked up the trust. Me and a friend started to research it. And no one can find out any legitimacy to it. I think it went all the way back to Arizona and New Mexico. I forget now. It's been well over a year since we did that. And then we looked him up. And he tried to claim the crown in England. He and a woman named Winona tried to be the queen, and he tried to be the king. The whole story involved with that and his replies to the questions made me realize the guy's he's a bona fide fruitcake. And his arguments were never cogent.
Well, that's what I said about him here recently, because he actually gains nothing by attacking me. I don't even know why.
I don't comprehend it. I mean, he's attacking everybody.
Well, he's a certifiable insane lunatic.
He seems that way.
Look, he just wrote a charging instrument accusing me of attempted murder. Attempted murder means I tried to kill him and I failed. I don't even know where the man lives, and I don't really care. Where this all started was one of his little sycophantic followers got on to Sarah Westall's show, and she put out information, actually, that Brian Parker and others said that they didn't agree with in relationship with what was going on with this so-called movement. She put out false information that the Constitution created a corporation, which is not true, but it doesn't matter because corporate entities are corporate entities and every nation state on this planet is a corporate entity. Because everything, one of my presentations that I did is on the DVDs, everything on this planet is done in name only. Those names are designated by contracts. A corporation is a contract. It has a corpus. It has an agreement. It has signatories. So it's just the name. That's all it is. And so it doesn't matter. If you look at U.S. case law, they don't care about the uppercase and lowercase name argument. All they care about, were you born or naturalized into the United States? And Keith makes this argument that it doesn't matter where you were born. It doesn't matter if you were born in the United States of America. His entire legal premise that I listened to after all this nonsense was going on, I finally listened. I can't even listen to him. His voice to me is like nails on a chalkboard. He drips with such narcissistic arrogance, it just makes you want to puke. I actually did better when I opened up the transcript and just read the transcript. It was faster and it was easier. I didn't have to listen to him. His legal premise is based on the 1906 Naturalization Act. And it says right here...
I hope he didn't do anything with my Social Security number.
He can't. First of all, he has no standing. The Social Security does not belong to you. It belongs to the Social Security Administration.
I did some research in that area anyway, and we can't do any of the things that he thinks he can do. He'd be getting visited by the Vatican.
He would be getting visited by U.S. agents by the FBI because it's an unlawful conversion and it's fraud against the United States, and he would go to prison instantly. The only reason he's not in prison now is because he's not actually going in and making claims. And it's not a crime to be stupid. Anybody that makes a legal argument that the 1906 Naturalization of Alien and Foreigners Act, that it applies to him, a natural-born United States citizen, who was arrested in 2010 as a citizen of the United States, designated as a citizen of the United States, coming back and claiming that he can pick up the Articles of Confederation, those are their articles. He says, well, they didn't amend it. I'm like, what do you mean they didn't amend it? It was their articles. They wrote it. They're the ones that went up there. They wrote a
comment. Take the way he claims the meets and bounds of the continental USA.
Do you honestly think that this man has surveyed the United States of America?
Well, I never even went anywhere down that rabbit hole. I don't see how he could do it without also getting arrested and creating claims and problems, like you said.
Well,
he's basically inactive. He's basically just getting people to send him money. My wife and I figured it out for too long, and other people did too. I was running into people who already knew me on Skype and Facebook, and they said, well, let me tell you about Keith Livingland. And when you know, I was getting story after story. The Geneva Trust, Genoa Trust, I forget what it was called.
Genoa?
Yeah, it looks like a paper tiger to me. It looks like he's taking advantage of the fact that no one will even casually look up this stuff.
Well, here's a question for you. If you were going to claim that you did a survey, why would you stop at the meets and bounds of the U.S.? Why wouldn't you just claim the whole planet and tell the Pope to get his butt off the throne?
That's a thought that hasn't entered my head, but that's pretty funny.
Well, if he wants to go directly by the Articles of Confederation, he should have at least got Canada, because Canada was mentioned in the Articles of Confederation, because those guys were trying to take in Canada. The point about all this is that none of those things were states. They were all companies that owned the land grants.
Like the Virginia Company, even.
They're the ones that owned the land grants. So all they ever did was take the word company and turn it into state. It doesn't mean they changed the definition, because it was the land grant given by the king that gave the meets and bounds of the property that was granted into the company.
It seems to me like they kind of put the East India Company and the Virginia Company and rolled it all up together.
I've always said that the Revolutionary War was the biggest corporate merger that ever took place.
Yeah, it was. You could read the Treaty of Peace, 1783, and see that we didn't win any war over here. And then the Treaty of Ghent, it's another thing. Same repeat, you know, the king remained. He controlled all waterways, navigable waterways, commerce, the interests, meaning.
Well, the thing that people don't think about when it comes to any of this, they don't know this, because you have to go do some real heavy digging and research to find this out. The kings of Europe were coming back to take the land if they didn't secure that debt, because they weren't paying the debt under the Articles of Confederation. they were not complying with the treaty. And that's what Madison said. There were 11 defects in the articles, and that they had violated 3 treaties, and they had violated the law of nations. And that's when Washington said, yes, and things cannot continue on in this train. What is going to be done with these 13 disunited states? They borrowed the 18 million liter Torno from France because they were having to pay France for their part in the war. Because without France, they would have never won anything.
And it's yeah, that's like Rothschild of France financed the United States, and then Rothschild of England financed the king. So it's like a big win-win situation for Rothschild.
Well, that's always been the case, is you put them in debt immediately. And so what happens is, in the Treaty of Paris, it finally says, okay, I'm going to treat with you guys as sovereigns. But it's still being done in the name of the United States of America, because no individual state had their sovereignty. They were sovereign collectively as a confederation of states called the United States of America, which is why you don't see their names as signatories on any treaties. You see the name of the United States of America and their plenipotentiaries that were the representatives like Jay and Adams and Clay and Henry Lawrence and Benjamin Franklin. These were the guys that were the plenipotentiaries, meaning they were granted full powers to ratify and sign these treaties and get these agreements in place. The king basically says, this is the land claim, you now have the land claim, treat you as sovereign. But Article 4 says all bona fide debt shall be paid. Well, if you have a mortgage on your land and you don't pay it, what happens?
It looks to me like the Constitution is just a debt consolidation, Vatican trust.
That's all it was. It was a compact. It says that in the Palfrey case, that it's clear that the Constitution is a compact, Mr. Palfrey, and equally clear that you're not a party to it. In other words, you're an inhabitant of the state, therefore you have to complain to the federal government through the state. If the state wants to take up your cause, fine. If they don't want to take up your cause, you have no case. Only the state can bring it to the federal government. But even in the Palfrey case, it says that the states, in making the Constitution, intended to give up the power of self-preservation. Living Bay cannot come in here and say, it doesn't matter what he says. He's a sovereign citizen, domestic terrorist. He claims that the government of the United States of America is illegitimate. That is the designation that the Sovereign Poverty Law Center uses to designate anyone as a sovereign citizen, domestic terrorist. It doesn't matter what anyone thinks the definitions are.
It doesn't take too long before you start figuring out that he's not complete and thorough in any of his directions of research. I mean, he goes so far in each category, and then that's it. So he thinks he's onto something that I think he's off a mile, obviously.
I told somebody the other day, reminds me of Baptist preachers who just preach a half a verse without reading the whole thing.
And that's another area of interest of mine, because if you're going to get into history, you're going to get into that Bible, and then you're going to get way back in time. But I did find some interesting information that might be of some value to you. We, in New Hampshire, we started to find out the obvious that the bar was acting outside of any law. They're always changing things in the voting ballots. They're changing wording in bills. They're changing the status of people. As you probably already know, the office of the person that they call it, so the attorney was at the debtor. What we ended up finding out is, if you go all the way back in the early 1800s to the Constitution for New Hampshire, which is 4 or 5 years older than the United States Constitution, you have to have an oath of allegiance as a state citizen to even vote. Now, granted, things changed over the centuries, but state citizens is sort of like a little improvement in statuses over U.S. citizens. They do allow you to do this. You use a state citizen passport and you take your oath of allegiance at the Secretary of State's office.
A state citizen passport? What do you mean? It's not an international document.
No, but it's sort of like a thing that lets the powers that be, you know, the bar and the police know that you're not a U.S. citizen and you're not a prisoner of war. The enemy of the state, so to speak.
There's no such thing as that. All the states have acquiesced. That's been done ever since. I mean, I've got the Dones versus Penhollow review on this that way back in 1795. Never had anything to do with the individual, because even at the time that they wrote the Declaration of Independence and then they finally, after 5 years, ratified the Articles of Confederation, even at that point in time, only those people that signed it became the founders of the United States of America and therefore were United States of America founders or sovereigns. They didn't have a naturalization process in there, so how did they convert British subjects into Americans? How'd they do that?
Well, I think the naturalization thing in 1802 kind of touches on what you're mentioning.
Yeah, but that's 1802. We're talking about 1774. They drafted the Constitution in 1787. The states ratified it and adopted it as an amendment and a replacement for the Articles of Federation, which were a complete and utter failure. And this is why he can't go claim their documents. They own all those names by international copyright anyway, and even if they didn't, you could go find where they have them copywritten on a website called ourdocuments.gov. Now, if the Articles of Confederation are posted up by the United States of America on a website called ourdocuments.gov, don't you think they're a little jealous about their documents? So for him to come along and think that he can pick up their documents, he's an immediate trespass. Immediate.
Especially with that copyright privilege.
Under common law, that thing's copyrighted from the day they wrote it. See, the Law of Nations always talks about forming up under another form, a new form. You don't. If I was going to do what he's done, I could go revive the Holy Roman Empire. I could go revive Prussia. I could go revive any. I could put back together the USSR based on his philosophy.
Yeah, there were too many holes. Listen to three bullets to a philosophy.
Well, him talking about the Law of Nations, he never talked about it until I came up on my website in 2010. And he and I used to talk, but he was going down this tangent. He did a Declaration of Independence of Yeshua for the United States of America, sent him in the thing and said that they were now the 14th state on the Articles of Confederation.
Yeah, that's where he really, he really impressed me with just inept. He's inept because he doesn't have his biblical history down too well. In fact, it's very painful to discuss it with people because if they're not clued in to what actually happened back then,
Well, he's all over the map, but trying to say that the Naturalization Act of the United States of America has anything to do with a natural-born citizen, and he says natural-born doesn't mean anything? I'm like, for 4,000 years, that's all that's in the Law of Nations is natural-born citizens. And he says you have to do an act of association. Well, I got news for him. Men sitting outside the city gate or Indians sitting around a teepee smoking a peace pipe, that's an act of association. And I guarantee you, if I walk through this neighborhood right here and ask these people in this neighborhood if they were Americans, and they said yes, and I said, well, how did you become one? They're all going to tell me that they were born here, unless they came from somewhere else and naturalized. There's not a single American other than Keith Livingway that I know of that's going to say, well, the reason I'm not American is because even though I was born here, the naturalization oath applies to me. Because that's what he says. He says he went to the state house. I don't know what the state house is, but naturalization is done in the courts, and you have to have an N-400 filled out, and you have to get your green cards, and you have to be on the court docket to do naturalization. You have to have an appointment with the judge.
You won't be on the bad side of the court system.
First of all, I know from Brian Parker, because he talked for 4 or 5 hours a week, he won't even leave his house because he's scared he's going to get arrested. And I have this recorded. They wanted to send him some money, and they said, well, just once you get a prepaid card, because I guess he wanted to send it in money order or something or another. And I don't know what the deal was. He said, well, why don't you just go down to Walmart?
Got money card, so they can remain anonymous when you ship funds over to them.
See, that just tells me everything I need to know. They're a bunch of cowards.
Well, yeah, I mean, that's,
if they were doing anything legitimate, they would be, I have foreign intent account. So I don't know what these people are doing. They're playing a game that's basically irrelevant. It just doesn't matter.
After a while, even if you don't know exactly what you're doing, you can still figure out that he doesn't either. I mean, I spent my whole life in the science and engineering world, and you kind of get a bit nervous around people that don't have any absolutes in their conversation. You know, there are absolutes in this world. You have to figure what they are.
Well, in his last thing he just came out with, I already challenged him to a debate. He said there's going to be a debate. The matter's already been settled. Well, I asked this guy on the phone with a friend of mine who's a former Oregon State Trooper. And I said, you guys with state troopers say that, you know, you have a right to confront your accuser? And he said, yeah.
And we wrote a bill in the state house about that. And the answer bar shot it down.
Oh, really?
Oh, yeah. I write bills that the ghostwriter for different cops.
Are you a part of some political party up there or something?
No, I can't be because I
it's not pleasant if you don't know what you're doing.
Yeah, but
I feel bad for people that don't have the mental whereabouts to figure it out. Some of them just aren't smart enough to do it, and they get victimized. So I try to help people.
This is the problem with people wanting to complain about the law. There's nothing wrong with the law, and nobody's complaining about the law. Everybody's complaining about abuse of power. But I don't find people generally complaining about the law.
Well, they don't like the color of law being projected upon them.
What does that mean, color of law? If you're a citizen, you are subject to the sovereign authority. It says so right in the Law of Nations. There's no question about it whatsoever. If you have given up your proxy to a representative to vote your decisions up and down for you, once you give them the proxy, it's no different than a stock proxy. That's what a vote is. If you live in a representative government, and those are the elected representatives, whether you elected them or not, it does not matter. They are governing the society. They're making the decisions for the society. That's what a republic is. That's why the Law of Nations says that republics are aristocratic republics, meaning they're run by the aristocrats.
Well, there's one particular problem that keeps popping up, and the guy that writes the bills is an 87-year-old guy about, you know, your car and your traveling and all that. And he thoroughly did all of his homework. That's what it is. He's really thorough about his research. And the New Hampshire court said that you don't have to register your car. The U.S. court said you don't have to register your car. And what they're doing is that they're forcing you into doing things. And then what did they do? He was beating her hands down in the court battle. And then what did the woman on the bench do? She decided to say, well, you were operating a motor vehicle after suspension of your license. And he said, I don't have a license. I didn't have a license to be suspended.
These are all written. They put it right into the, what was it, Curse of the Black Pearl, Pirates of the Caribbean number one. The code is just a loose system of guidelines. It's not actually set in stone. The judges are going to make these decisions.
They legislate from the bench daily. But they're all administrative. It's an administrative court.
It doesn't matter what they are. It doesn't matter if you call them administrative, executive, judicial, star chamber. It doesn't matter. That's what runs this society, and that's what this society has agreed to. Unless you can get the entire society to change.
Well, I'm not going to try that. What I want to do is correct things the proper way, and it seems obvious that what you're doing is...
You only have one option, and that's what they put in the Matrix movie. You have to get out of it.
Yeah, that's what my wife and I have come to a resolve. That's exactly what we want to do. We just want to do it the right way, and just use your own words, you know, without getting arrested.
Well, here's the thing. You know, I went through this, and I didn't get arrested, but I got close. I got challenged. But see, they never came after me. I was always after them. I was filing in the courts, filing in the Supreme Court. And in 2006, I pushed them as far as they would go. And so they sent an agent to have a conversation with me. And, of course, he didn't really have a conversation. It was pretty much more or less a threat. But it wasn't like an overt threat. It was pretty covert, but I knew what it meant when it was said. But he did me a favor, and the favor was they already knew I had taken the appointment as ambassador, and then I ended up putting my paperwork into a court as ambassador, and they wrote me back. But when I put in my Declaration of Peace and Reconciliation and just gave up U.S. citizenship entirely, that was when everything changed.
Yeah, that's what I want to do, but the right way.
But if you look at the general principles of the Law of Nations, it says there can be no difficulty if a whole nation is unanimously inclined to make a change in the Constitution, but is asked what is to be done if the people are divided. In the ordinary management of the state, the opinion of the majority must pass without dispute for that of the whole nation. Otherwise, it would be impossible for a society to make any resolutions. See, everybody wants to believe that a war of nation of laws, not of the majority. Like, no, the majority always has to say so. That's why you have a vote. And even then, in the United States, the vote doesn't count because they have an electoral college. So their vote is nothing more than an opinion poll to find out whether or not the electors are going to abide by the opinion of the masses or not. So it says that by parity of reason, that if a nation may change the constitution of the state by a majority of the votes, and whenever there's nothing in this change that would be considered as contrary to an act of civil association or to the intention of those united under it, the whole abounds and conform to the resolution of the majority. But if the question would be to quit a form of government, it appeared that the people were willing to submit when they entered into society. If the greater part of a free people, after the example of the Jews in the time of Samuel, are weary of liberty and resolve to submit to the authority of a monarch, those citizens who were jealous of the privilege of freedom, so invaluable to those who have tasted, though they are obliged to suffer that majority to do as they please, are under no obligation to submit to the government. They may quit a society which seems to have dissolved itself in order to unite again under another form. They have a right to retire elsewhere, sell their lands, and take with all their effects. Now, in today's world, this has changed to a degree. There's no requirement to sell your lands and all that kind of stuff because all the land is now controlled anyway. It doesn't matter. But under the law of nations, you have the right of embassy when you join together as a state with people who are like what we're already doing. And you also have the right of permanent residence anywhere in the world you want to live, as long as you're not going to be named persona non grata by the government. If I'm a billionaire in France and I want to buy a house in every jurisdiction on this planet, and one of the documents I just had up is the treatment of lands owned by aliens in the United States. But if I listen to Keith Livingway, he claims that they don't ever pass any laws in relation to the law of nations. I'm like, well, what do you think land ownership by aliens is? That's international law.
Have all of our land here in fee simple.
They have sovereign title. They don't deal in fee simple. They put everything in fee simple to basically split the legal title from the equitable title. So nobody has any title here in the United States, or at least citizens don't, except for equity. And even Keith Livingway claims that he has a land patent. Patents are a license, and they are issued by kings.
Yeah, a friend of mine, when he bought a piece of land up here in New Hampshire, 12 acres, he did it with a bill of sale, and I guess sold it, and he just wouldn't register the deed. He doesn't pay property taxes or anything. The police don't give him any problems.
Yeah, I know people that have done that, but so what?
He said the guy in the register of deeds chased him and said, you have to register the deed, and he goes, show me the law.
Yeah, it doesn't matter. Something real simple about it is there's two types of people in this world, those that have immunity and those that don't have immunity.
That's what I want to do because at least I have enough brains to figure out that everything I've been doing is, you know, it's not the whole complete thing. And when I heard you talk a few times, I figured it out. That's what we want to do.
Yeah.
We just need a little guidance somehow.
Well, last week I had two people here, liaisons from Haiti. Dr. Painter just got back from Haiti. I'm going to be invited to come visit with the Minister of Foreign Affairs and the President to establish a embassy there. And then they want to, Wednesday, I'm going down to Bradenton. One of the liaisons is there. And we're going to talk about setting up for the future like a international trade and commerce symposium or something to that effect. Probably sometime, maybe. Hopefully, you know, we could target next March for something like that.
So what would I do? Join in with what you're doing or do something separate? Or?
Yeah, you have to do this with a group. You can't do it by yourself. I didn't even set up the Dom. I joined the Dom because they already had recognition. Regardless of what anybody had to say about it, they want to keep regurgitating this nonsense that happened in 1998. And nobody ever got arrested as a Dom citizen. Nobody ever went to jail. There are two people that went to jail as U.S. citizens, but that's the duality game. And all they were trying to do was take advantage of the Dom. They weren't trying to actually support and build the Dom.
You talking about Dominion?
Yeah, Dominion Melchizedek's the name on it. I would have already changed the name, but it got recognition in that name, and I have recognition in that name, so why would I change it now?
Would I be out of place by asking you for, you know, the ability to join in and do this?
No, absolutely not. That's the whole point. We usually people come down here so we can sit down with paperwork because I had to develop a nationalization process that's a 2-year process to go through this. I don't put our charters out on. I'm not doing that. People was like, well, I want to see the Constitution or the Charter or whatever. I'm like, I'm not throwing it out there on the web. Sorry. Private international law.
Well, I respect your thoughts. I mean, you're not going to hear me try to twist your arm into doing anything because
I just
want to be able to produce the brain power to do what you're showing me to do. That's all.
First and foremost, and this is something that I learned this from a gentleman named Arthur Alexander. His former name was Michael Greisecker. He had been in the Kansas government for 30 years. He was the one that had stumbled onto the writings on self-determination, which technically go back. I found the word self-determination mentioned by Lenin in 1914. And before that, in the Law of Nations, it was called the Right of Exile. So they've just, all they've done is change the name. And they changed the character of it by putting it in as a human right and as a legal right and putting it under peaceful settlement. And peaceful settlement means if you don't like what you're in, get out and quit arguing about it. Quit complaining because this is not peaceful. And so self-determination has become the highest law of all international laws. And international law is the highest law on the planet. All the nations have agreed that international law is the supreme law of the land in every nation on the globe. They're building a global military industrial complex because they're going to build enough artificial intelligence that they're going to knock off the nonsense with human beings. And I mean human beings killing each other. The problem is that people don't take human nature for what human nature is. I mean, even Washington, I have this up. It's a letter he wrote to John Jay. It was a response to a letter that Jay had sent to him. What astonishing changes a few years are capable of producing. I'm even told that even respectable characters speak of monarchical forms of government without horror. What a triumph for the advocates of despotism to find that we are incapable of governing ourselves. And the systems founded on the basis of equal liberty are merely ideal and fallacious. So this is the beginning of his letter. And then he goes on down here to see, he says, we have errors to correct. We probably have had too good opinion of human nature in forming our confederation. Experience has taught us that men will not adopt and carry into execution measures the best calculated even for their own good without the intervention of a coercive power. So even among the 56 men that founded all this, they didn't know how to self-govern. Here's what I told somebody on Facebook today. I hope you people join Keith. I want you to go join him. All you sovereign citizens, domestic terrorists, are to go to prison.
Well, my wife was getting mad at me because she was sticking up for me, and she wanted me to shut up. And she was pretty feisty, so.
And the judges, when we were going through, and I was working a lot with David Windmiller, working a lot with Russell Gould, when we filed the case in 2004, there were 21 of us that filed against the IRS in 2004, ended the case in 2005. The U.S. was honoring what we did because we were captioning our documents as Unity States of Our World, and Russell had filed a treaty with the Bern Switzerland as Unity States of Our World. They were literally extending us all just tons of grace while we were trying to learn. And I could see it, but not for those that were belligerent. Russell Gould went to jail twice, and they beat the crap out of him. He talked about it on one of his videos about how bad it hurts to get beaten by him. And I'm like, well, quit being so belligerent. I'll quit beating you.
I wouldn't have guessed him to be the belligerent type, I guess.
He was just arrogant, going running around saying that he captured their flag and that he owned their post office.
Oh, yeah. I'm wondering, why are people saying he's so sharp? When he started saying he captured the Earth and the Moon and Saturn, I was wondering, like, I don't know if I should take this guy's advice about anything.
No, he's just as crazy or crazier than Keith Livingway is.
Well, yeah, it didn't take me long to figure that out.
On the Internet, they're called trolls. And my definition of an Internet troll is anyone who disseminates false information. If you're disseminating false information, you're a troll. I live in the real world. In the real world, I've been in business since I was 26 years old. I still have a merchant services company where we do card processing. And I've decided to come out with the education again. And I'm not going to do it for free. It's like, what was the old quote? The price of freedom is constant vigilance.
Where do I go for your webpage?
MatrixSolutionsNetwork.com.